أعوذ بالله من الشرور والشيطان ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we commenced the topic of An-Nadhr. And we said An-Nadhr is to take a vow that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he does so and so, we are going to do so and so in return. We said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is not a good thing. إِنَّمَا يُسْتَخْرَ جِدِينَ مِنْ بَخِيلٍ. It's the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes from the one who is stingy, who does not want to spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not want to engage in ibadah unless if Allah does so and so for him. So service is not something that is encouraged. It's not something that is okay Islamically. Unless it is nadru that the person is doing is nadru that is not attached to anything. Take for instance somebody says, لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ نَظْرٌ أَنْ حَوْجَّ. I have taken a vow that I will perform Hajj. Not, oh Allah, if you do so and so for me, I will perform Hajj. Oh Allah, if you lift away from me so and so problem, I will perform Hajj, or I will fast, or I will do Umrah, and so on and so forth. So if it is strange on something, this is not something that is encouraged Islamically. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, إِنَّمَا يُسْتَخْرَجُ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَغِيلِ. This is a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes from the one who does not want to change. And Uqbata ibn Amir qala nadarat ukhti أن تمشي إلى بيت الله الحرام خافية فحمرتني أن أبتكي لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتيته فقال لتمشي ولتركب. The next hadith is the hadith of Uqba, the son of Amir, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, my sister took a vow to walk barefooted to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is al-Masjid al-Haram. My sister vowed to walk barefooted to al-Masjid al-Haram. فأمرتني أن أبتكي لها رسول الله. After she had taken this vow, she now ordered her brother, Uqba ibn Amir, to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whether her vow was okay. فَتَبْتَيْتُهُ. So I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فقال. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he tells she one step can walk, then she can also write. Now, from what we have explained, that it is not okay for one to take a vow that one is going to do so and so. Maybe something that is ibadah, or something that is mustahab, or something that is wajib, or something that is mubah. It is not okay when that is premised on something. So the sister of Uqba ibn Amir took a vow that she was going to walk barefooted to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discouraged her from doing that. When she asked her brother to ask the fatwa, except her that he be asked the fatwa from somebody. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the fatwa that let her walk and watch and also write. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say she should walk barefooted, because saying I will walk barefooted is not something that works, but it is encouraged. Now it is permitted if somebody wants to walk barefooted, it is permissible. But for you to say it is sunnah to do that, no, this is not sunnah. But the only thing is that what Islam is against you walking in one sandal, a sandal, or in one shoe. As some of us would do at times, maybe you put your one of your shoes on, then maybe you want to take the other one, you will be walking to take the other one. No, this is not okay. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, put both of them on, or you take both of them off. But for you to put the right leg on, then walking towards the area that you take the second leg and the second shoe, this is not something that is okay Islamically. The scholars of Sunnah, somebody once told me about, said something about Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahmahullah ta'ala. You know, the Sheikh, rahmahullah ta'ala, was blind. So when he was about to put on his sandals or his shoes, the first that he could see was the left leg. So the Sheikh continued to feel it until he was able to get the right leg. Then he put on the right leg first, then put on the left leg. Why, to the end one of us, it is the one that was to come across. If it is the left leg, you wear the leg. Let's watch. And let me know for love of Allah sallam, discourage us from putting the left leg on us, rather the right leg. Then it's not that once you put on the right leg that you'll be looking for the left leg. Both of them must watch for the present. So when this woman took a vow that she would walk to Baytullah al-Haram to perform Hajj or Umrah, dear footage, thinking there is what reward in that, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, they tell she can walk when she decides to walk. Huh? And she can also watch, she can also write. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ وَعَذِّ فِي النَّاسِ فِي الْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَمِيرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا That is the form, رِجَالًا That is working. وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَمِيرٍ Also what? Riding on the camels, or in the modern time, riding on the ship or the airplane. So both are permissible, whether one walk or one ride. But for you to say you want to walk barefooted, this is something that is not acceptable in the Sharia. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam discouraged that this is not ibadah. This is not what? Ibadah. Now, somebody who vows to do something that is not okay, the Sharia or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you should not do that thing. But is there kafara to be paid or not? Is there kafara to be paid? A lot of scholars, they say there is no kafara. There is no kafara. Someone who says he will do something that is haram, a vow to do something that is haram. A lot of scholars, they said, watch, you shouldn't do something that is haram if you have vowed to do it. But is there kafara? They said no kafara. And Imam Ahmad and some scholars of the opinion that was, there is kafara room for that. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man nazara an ya'asi Allah fala ya'asi. Whoever vowed to disobey Allah should not. Said, wa kafaratuhu kafaratu yamin. The kafara that you do for that vow is the same kafara that you do for the yamin. That is the oath. We have talked about oath. The one who says, who takes an oath that you will do so and so, or you will not do so and so, something that has to do with the future. And I discovered that for him to do what he has said, he will not do, or for him not to do what he has said, he will do, is better. He says such a person should do kafara. And the kafara is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. The kafara to who is a'amu ashrat nasakin min awtasimatu tawimuna ahalikum awtiswatihum awtariru rakaba. So man lam yajid fasiyamu salatati ayyamin ذلك كفارة أيمانكم إذا حلفتم واحفظوا أيمانكم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says the one who takes an oath to do something or not to do something, and I discover that what he has taken an oath to do or not to do, the opposite is better. So he now does the opposite, he should do the kafara. And the kafara is to feed 10 poor people, or to clothe them, or to set free a slave. If you can't find that, then you should fast 3 days. He said, it is not compulsory that the 3 days are consecutive. They may be fasted without being consecutive. For some scholars of the funeral, it must be consecutive. So the same thing that is applicable to oath is also applicable to vow. Oath is what? Wallahi, I will not do so and so. Wallahi, I will do so and so. You now discover that what the opposite is better. You now do the opposite, then you have to do kafara. This is oath. But vow is for one to say that lillahi alayya and hajjal bayt. I've taken a vow to perform hajj. Maybe if Allah does so and so from me, or if Allah takes away so and so from me, or without giving it on anything, you just make something compulsory on yourself. Maybe ibadah, something that is mustahab, or something that is not mubah. You make it compulsory on yourself. This is what? This is vow. This is nazr. But oath, yameen, is for you to say, wallahi, or tallahi, or billahi, or walrahman, things like this. Wallahi, I'm going to do so and so. This is oath. Now discover that doing the opposite of that thing is better. Go ahead and do the opposite. Then be ready that you do the kafara. So the same thing if you say billahi alayya an hajjal bayt, it is compulsory on me. I've taken a vow to perform hajj. Maybe you're unable to perform the hajj, or you now feel you are not going to perform the hajj anymore. What do you do to escape this vow that you have taken? What you do is the same thing as that of what? That of yameen. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kafaratu nazrin, kafaratu yamin." The same kafara that you do when you take an oath is what you do when you take a vow. The same thing. But when you take a vow to do something that is haram or something that is not okay, are you still going to do kafara? We said, majority of scholars said there is no kafara. Huh? Somebody should say, لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ نَظْرٌ أَنْ أَقْتُلَ وَأَنْ أَذْبَ إِبْنِي. I take an oath and a vow that if Allah does so and so for me, I'm going to slaughter my child in sacrifice to Allah. Huh? So, such a person, he should not slaughter his child. But will he go scot-free like that? The judge of Israel said, yes. Because what he has vowed to do is something that is haram. So, his vow is not something that is recognized in the Sharia. So there shouldn't be any kafara on such a person. But Imam Ahmad, and some scholars, are of the opinion that we should do kafara for that as well, based on the hadith which was reported by Imam Ahmad, Imam Tahawi, and many other scholars. And this, wallahu alam, appears to be the more correct opinion on this matter. So when the sister of Uqba ibn Amir, radiallahu anhuma, when she took a vow to walk the architect to the house of Allah, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The tenshi, what is that kind? Let her walk, and when she's tired, she can also watch, she can write. But for walking the architect, no." It was also narrated as containing the sunnah that an old man also took a vow like that, that he walk barefooted, or he walk to the house of Allah. I mean, an elderly man. He was an elderly man. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, let this man write. Inna Allah an ta'zid hadha nafsahu la ghani. Allah is not interested in the punishment of this one himself." That is this old man saying, walk to the house of Allah. Allah is not interested in what? In punishing himself. Allah is not interested in the punishment of himself. So, and that's why the one who takes a vow to do something that is wrong, he should not do it. And the more correct opinion is that he should also do the kafara for that. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and now قال اكتفى صعب بن عبادة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في نبر كان على أمي. صعب بن عبادة radiallahu anhu asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the nabr that was upon his mother, توفيت قبل أن تقضيه, that she died before she could fulfill the nazr. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقضيه عنها, fulfill vow on her behalf. Now, somebody who takes a vow that لله علي نذر أن أصوم شهرا, I vow that I will fast for Allah for 1 month. Then the person dies, what happens? He's unable, or she's unable, to fulfill this vow before death, overcomes. So what is he or she going to do? The case of Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, when the mother died, and she was unable to pay the kafir, he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on behalf of his mother. Messenger of Allah encouraged him to fast, to pay the kafir on behalf of the mother. And that's why there is this question: if somebody takes a vow to fast a month, is it something that is recommended that the relative fast on behalf if she if or she dies? Yes, based on the hadith of Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Scholars disagree. Somebody who vows to fast a month and he or she dies before she's able to fast, what should be done? Is it fasting or not? Or somebody who doesn't vow, maybe is sick during the month of Ramadan. Somebody who is sick during the month of Ramadan, and after Ramadan passes, he becomes okay. You know, he's supposed to pay what? Pay back the next days of Ramadan. But maybe the person after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, he didn't pay back. But he hasn't paid back till death now comes. What happens to the fasting of such a person? Huh? Et plus les qui vous fait, on est bien. Yes? Somebody says, plus les qui vous fait, on est bien. You know, this person has time to pay. Only that what? He was able to pay what he has time. You said he has time. How does he have time? Have time? You mean the court is not going to pay back? I'm not talking of somebody who died in the month of Ramadan. Huh? No, somebody who is sick during the month of Ramadan. And only before Ramadan ends, he died. He doesn't have any time at all. Huh? He doesn't have any time at all to pay back. Both of us, we agree that somebody who is unable to fast in the month of Ramadan, but the person recuperates after Ramadan, it becomes okay. Is he going to pay back or not? So he has time to pay, only that he doesn't pay. Till death overtakes him. And the person is sinful or not, let us take care of that. It's not sinful. But is it owing or is not owing? So that's the issue. We are not talking about being sinful now. It's not sinful. Because what is compulsory on him is to pay back before what? The next Ramadan. Only that what the next Ramadan hasn't come before he dies. So it's still owing. Who is it? After Ramadan, it becomes okay. It's a month that is okay. So he should pay during that 1 month. But it's okay, I still have enough time. I still have about 11 or so months. So I'm not going to pay. I'll pay in 3 months' time. Yes. It's permissible for him to delay it to 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha said what? Kana yakunu alayya sawmun min Ramadan. Fama astati an aqdiya illa fi Sha'ban. She said, I will be owing some days in Ramadan. I will not be able to pay those days back except what? In Sha'ban. So 11 months. But it is prepared at what? Wasari will have a surah in Rabbikum. For Jannah Ta'adwa. Ta'adwa Ta'adwa Ta'adwa. So 18 to the forgiveness of your Lord. 18 to the rahmah of your Lord. So the one who doesn't pay back the debt of a 16 is what? His own. Who is going to pay on his behalf? Who is going to pay on his behalf? Nobody. It's relative. Now scholars disagree on this. Some scholars are of the opinion that you don't fast on behalf of somebody who is owing. You don't fast on behalf of somebody who is owing the compulsory fasting of Ramadan. Huh? Why some of the opinion that one can fast on his behalf? But if it is nadru, somebody says the liar alaya nadrun and asuma shahran. It is compulsory on me to fast for Allah a month. Huh? That such a person if he dies, it is strongly recommended that the relatives they fast on his behalf. Strongly recommended that what? The relatives fast on his behalf. Because this is something that he took upon himself. This is something that what? He took upon himself. What is the evidence for that? This hadith, Jazakallah khair, we have what? As an evidence, this hadith, that Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu said to the Messenger of Allah, my mother vowed to watch, to do something. And she died before she could watch, do it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Taqdihi. You do what? Pay on our behalf. So if it is fasting, the relative is encouraged to watch, pay on the behalf of the one who has done it, it is what has, and so on and so forth. But if it is what Allah has made compulsory on him, you know, not doing what you have made compulsory on yourself. But the fasting of Ramadan is something that what? Allah has made compulsory. One is unable to do it when one had the time to do it. When one did not do it, one has what? Excuse. But one after that has enough time to do it, for one does not do it to death. Overtakes one, then in that case, is it something good that they relative fast, or they do fidya? Or they do what? Fidya. The fatwa of Aisha radiallahu anha and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu is that why it is good for them to do fidya on behalf of such a person, to preach the poor on behalf of what? The person for each day. If it is what? If it is fasting. I mean the compulsory fasting, that the person is not fasting, he dies. Obviously. Why some people are of the opinion that what? They can still fast on his behalf. Since it is fasting that the person is owing, the fasting of Ramadan, then the relative can still fast on his behalf. Wallahu a'lam, the fatwa of Abdullah bin Abbas and Aisha radiallahu anha, this is more convincing, since this is what both of them have said. So if it is the fasting of Ramadan and the person is able to fast, they will fast on his behalf. Now what we are saying is not applicable to somebody who is negligent. During the month of Ramadan, he doesn't fast. It's not because he's sick, but he doesn't fast. And now that you let him not say, okay, we are going to fast on behalf of our father and our late mother. No, they can't do that. Because the person does not have what? Excuse. Or somebody who doesn't perform Hajj, he has the way we have to perform Hajj, but he doesn't perform Hajj in our dies, they won't perform Hajj on his behalf. But the person who has the way we have to perform Hajj, but maybe the person, when he has the way we have to perform Hajj, is incapable, maybe physically, to do that. So somebody may be rich, wealthy. He has the money to do Hajj, but physically is not okay. Such a person, a relative can assist in performing Hajj. This is permissible. But somebody who has everything, but says, I don't want to perform Hajj, are you going to assist me to perform Hajj? This is not what? This is not permissible. So, Fatim al-Rubada radiallahu anhu, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, who pay on behalf of the mother, Fakbi Anha. And Kabin Malikim, Kale Kulti Ya Rasulullah, from Kabin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, Inna min tawbati, part of my repentance, and an khali'a min mali, is for me to do away with part of my work, sadaqatan ilallah, to do sadaqah in order to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa ila rasuli, and to get the pleasure of the Messenger of Allah. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْفِتْ عَلَيْكَ بَعْضَ مَالِكَ. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep part of your wealth. فَهُوَ خَيْرُ لَكَ. This is better for you. You look at Ibn Malik, one of the three who did not partake in the battle of Tabuk. So they refused to go to the battle of Tabuk without any genuine excuse. A lot of people also refused to go. Some of them were munafiqun. But in the case of Ka'b ibn Malik, he wasn't a munafiq. But he did not go to the battle of Tabuk, and he did not have what genuine excuse. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about him, somebody spoke ill of him. And when he got back to Medina, he came to Messenger of Allah and said, O Messenger of Allah, if I'm to look for excuse for myself, I know what I can say and you excuse me. But if you excuse me here, I know that what I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reason is that what, or the issue is that what, I don't have any genuine reason for not partaking in the battle of Tabuk. He and two other are possible. So they were involved in this. And other people came, those who are monarchical, giving excuse. I'm not saying the people will excuse them. But these three people, they show seriousness and they expected that they were guilty. And then the Messenger dealt with the three of them to the extent that he asked the community, the Muslim community of Medina, not to speak with them. When about his part on this, in this situation, the Messenger of Allah also asked them to boycott their wives, or their wives to boycott them. So the extent that what they will make their claims to people and people will not respond. Kamul Malik himself said he will make their claims to the Messenger of Allah. He will look at the needs of the Messenger of Allah, whether he replied or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the earth was tightened on them. They said the fact that what? The earth was spacious. If they wanted to disbelieve or apostatize, they could watch. They could apostatize. Ka'b ibn Malik received offer from the ruler of Ghassan. Said, we learned that your master had watched, but he caught you, so come, we are going to give you so and so, we are going to do so and so. The letter that was written to him, he wanted, because he was looking for the pleasure of Allah, and the message of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the information that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven them came to him, somebody was running to him to give him this information. Another person was at the top of a mountain shouting, "Oh Ka'b, Allah has revealed your forgiveness." He just took off the garment, his garment, and gave to the one who gave him that blood, tidy, concerning what? The forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he now said to the Messenger of Allah, he said, إِنَّ مِنْ تَوْبَةِ أَنْ خَلِئَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَالِ. Part of my tawbah is that what? I'm giving up part of my word in order to get what? صَدَقَةً لِلَّهِ. In order to what? To get the pleasure of Allah and to get the pleasure of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, أَنْسِكْ عَنْكَ بَعْضًا. And said, keep some of your work. Just like he told Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas radiallahu anhu, when Sa'd said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm dying, and there is no person to end me except again. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man said he will do sadaqah with half of his work. Messenger of Allah said, no, this is much. He said, I will do sadaqah with what? One third of it. Messenger of Allah said, one third, what should you get here? Only one third is much. And he said to him, لِأَنْ تَدَعَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَنْ تَدَعَهُمْ عَالَةً يَتَكَسَّفُونَ النَّاسِ. For you to leave your children or your heirs as Aghniya, worthy people, is better than leaving them as A'ala, dependent, يَتَكَسَّفُونَ النَّاسِ, absent people. So the same thing is applicable here to Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, where he got the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wanted to give out all his wealth as sadaqah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected him and said, keep some of your wealth, because this is what is good for you. So this is reflecting the fact that what? Somebody may say what? I have vowed to do so and so. If it's something that is not good, this can be corrected. والله أعلم. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت.
Is it truly what Allah ordained in the Quran that is composing, not what the Prophet of Allah is telling for that day? Is it evidently that it is composing from the Prophet of Allah?
كان الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى سيدنا الرسول فقد أطاع الله. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَمَا كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرٍ فَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not okay for a believer, male or female, when Allah and His Messenger decide a matter for him or her to have authority. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger are manifestly born astray. Likewise, Allah to Allah atakum al-Rasul fa-khudu, whatever the Messenger gives to you, take it. وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنُ فَانْتَهُ, whatever he forbids, go away from it. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُوشِكُ الرَّجُلْ مُتَّكِهًا عَلَىٰ آرِكَتِ. A time will come that somebody will be lying on his cushion. He said, يُحَدَّثُ مِنْ حَدِيثٍ مِنْ حَدِيثٍ. He will be addressed with a statement of mine. فَيَقُولْ then say, بَيْنَا وَبَيْنَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. It is only the Quran, the book of Allah, that I want to take. This is what we should use. فَمَا وَجَدْنَا مِنْ حَلَالٍ حَلَّلْنَا وَمَا وَجَدْنَا مِنْ حَرَامٍ حَرَّمْنَا. Whatever the Quran says to be halal is halal. Whatever the Quran says to be haram is what? It's haram. The Prophet of Allah said, Allah, فَإِنَّمَا حَرَّمَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مِثْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. Then listen, whatever the Prophet of Allah said to be haram is what? Have the same weight as what? What Allah said what? To be haram. And that's why in terms of practice, you don't differentiate between the verse of the Quran and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. As far as what practice of Islam is concerned, you don't differentiate that this is the verse of the Quran, if you watch, you should go by it. This is the hadith of the Messenger. You don't differentiate. Differentiating between the two, this may be the way of the Mu'tazila. The way of the Mu'tazila. The Ahl al-Jama'ah, they don't differentiate between the hadith of the Messenger of Allah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allahu a'lam.
Now, what is the question? What if someone knows it? When the Lord is the Torah and the light, should be anything of ground, the Torah is the hour.
Someone who is sick and unable to perform the Torah, as long as the person has what the person intellect is still there, the person is still sensible, he has to pay what? For God. If you now delay it, take for instance, ordinarily, what the muhakkikun among the scholars are upon is that somebody who is sitting, but the person cannot move his body. They said what he should pray like that. He should be praying by what? By alluding. By alluding. So as long as what his mind is still what? It is sensible. It is saying he should pray. He should pray according to his what? His ability. Some scholars have the opinion that if somebody gets to the situation that he cannot move his body, he cannot move. The only thing is still what? He still saying, but he cannot move at all. Some scholars have said in this situation, Salah has become something that is what? That is not compulsory and possible. But what is more correct is that what? Even if it is what? If it is just intending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is part of your Salah. As long as the senses are still what? One still has the ability to be sensible, so to say, it is still composed. Now let's not assume that somebody, maybe the person does not know that he should pray when he's in a situation like this. He now recuperates and becomes okay. That means he has to pray for those days. If he now dies, what will happen? Will his people pray on his behalf? It is not reported from the Sunnah that watch something like this happen. So that maybe they should do salah on his behalf. Wallahu
a'lam. Well, finally, inshallah, maybe you should just take this last question. Now, someone says that the usual practice is that whenever he wants to go to bed, he would observe Nawafil, and at the end of it, he would do victory. Because it's difficult for him to wake up during the night for the Hajj. Now, his brother woke up to him and said, it is not the Sunnah, and that the person should stop it. Is this correct? I need clarification.
It's not correct. What is compulsory is what is compulsory, and what is not compulsory, you do it to the best of your ability. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abu Zarri al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu, both of them, they were among the companions who prayed their witr before they go to bed. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised both of them, one who tira qabla an anam, and for me to perform my witr before I go to bed. Scholars would say the reason is that what some people, they were busy, maybe with knowledge, they will not be able to watch, they will not be able to devote much time for nawafi, maybe towards at the last part of the night. So such people, it is good if they can watch, they can also observe what it's called, Salatu Duha. If they will go to bed, they will do their witr before they go to bed. That is only meant, maybe they will not be able to do some other things. That Salatu Duha is strongly recommended in the case of people like this. And now let's look at the hadith of Abu Dharri and that of Abu Huraira. Salatu Duha is also what? Attached to that of witr. This is the argument of Shaykh Islam ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Zad al-Ma'aj. Why some scholars said no, Ummu Salatul Duha is for everybody. The fact that somebody should perform his witr at the last part of the night doesn't mean that what? One cannot perform Salatul Duha if he has the ability. So it's something that is saying good. But the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala said it was not something that was reported much. The Messenger of Allah would do a lot of Salatul Duha, the way that of which was reported. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that what, if you know what is okay for you, if you don't pray your witr, you will end up not praying witr at all. The only thing that will wake you up is what? As Salatul Khairu Minan Nawm. Then in that case, don't lose all the rewards. It is good that you perform your witr before you go to bench. This is what is good. But one who knows or who is preponderant in his mind that you wake up at the last part of the night, that is what is preferred according to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahu a'lam.
There are some questions that I used to finish. For example, the importance of this one, let's take them. So we are one of those questions.